I think about a ministry that I know of that when it first got started, they were having financial difficulty. I know a lot of ministries had financial difficulties, but this one was really having difficulties, and they were going pretty strong, and then one day, you know, they were down to, they just couldn't pay their bills. And so the guy that was kind of like myself in this little ministry, he went to the Lord and began to plead with the Lord. Lord, why is it we're about your business? And Lord, it doesn't matter what we do, we cannot have enough money coming in to pay the bills, Lord. And we're about your business. What are we doing wrong? And he's pleading with God. He said he was preaching somewhere and it was time to go. So he said, after I got through praying, I got up and I walked out and I went down to the hallway to the elevator. And a guy walked up, just I pushed a button. He said, aren't you so-and-so, your preacher? He said, yes, sir. He said, where are you tithing off your ministry? He said, I said, sir, that's none of your business. And so he said, I got in the elevator and went down, started to go out to get in the car. People are going to pick me up. And a guy walked up to him and said, aren't you so-and-so, preacher? He said, well, yes. He said, by the way, where are you tithing on your ministry? He said, I got in the car and I thought, okay, Lord, what's the big deal with this? Nobody's ever asked me that question. I prayed, want to know why I'm not financially blessed, and two people that I don't know have asked me where I'm tithing. Nobody's ever asked me that question. He said, Lord, I'm not tithing. We're using it all for you. So he said, maybe that's what's wrong. We're not giving away anything. We're bringing everything in. Yes, we're using it to run the ministry, but we're not giving it to any other ministries. So he goes and calls one of his board members that has access to the finance. He said, how much money do we have left in the bank? He said, just about $1,000. And that's it. That's all we got. He said, find a good ministry somewhere that's really blessing people, that's moving, that God's doing good things, and write a check for the whole sum and send it to them. He said, but we'll be broke. He said, that's okay. Send it to them. He said, we sent that last $1,000 to another ministry that was really doing great things for the kingdom of God. And when I heard him tell the story, it was years later, he said, I have made sure we tithe off our ministry ever since. And he said, our ministry has never been short of money since that day. Isn't that amazing? God expects us to be generous, doesn't he? The generous prosper and are satisfied. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. See, this is what Cheryl so grossly involved in refreshing others during this month of November and December. I mean, of course, this thing's getting bigger every year. You know, she started out with about 40 kids. Now she's got 500 or something this year. I mean, she's buying Christmas gifts for, you know. So last year, the ministry center was packed. You couldn't walk in it, you know, at all. So praise the Lord, this year, if we fill this one up, that's okay. You know, but she's on the way. I mean, they're buying Christmas gifts and lots of people. And, of course, Shelley was telling us she worked out here this morning till after 6 herself. And she told Cheryl something. She said, you know, I love to do this because when I was 7 years old, my dad wasn't there for us, and we had a problem, and it was Christmas time. We had nothing to eat and no Christmas presents, and Christmas Day, somebody I didn't even know walked in and provided us with food and Christmas gifts. And she said, that proved to me that somebody was out there that loved me, and it had to be God. And so, you know, and that's what Cheryl's doing with all these kids. I mean, they have usually, some of them have no parents. some of them are in these institutions, and they have nothing. And they're totally depending on somebody else. It's better to be able to give than to receive. That little gal there, she knows that scripture. She's quoted it. Yeah. So, but it is better, isn't it? I'd rather be blessed. But it says, the generous prosper and are satisfied. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hold their grain for higher prices, but they bless the one who sells to them in their time of need. Now, in this system that we have here, whenever there is a need, and of course, one of the things these oil companies have done lately, you know, they have, you look at their profits and they're in the billions. Their net profits are in the billions. And That's greed. You know, and we're paying that money. And so they will get theirs in the end. You know, they're not being generous. Those people, the people curse those who hold their grain. Well, you know, these people that are robbing us at the gas pump, I don't care what anybody says, if they're causing us to have to pay that kind of money for gasoline and then their net profits are in the billions, they're charging us too much. They're charging us too much. And the Lord says that people curse those who hold grain. Well, I'm sure there's some of you besides me that have called down a curse on these demons of greed that are touching the hearts of those men that are setting those oil prices. Because I know that's a set of demonic spirits of greed that's moving on the heart of those men that's doing that. And they're listening. You know, those little demons are whispering in their ear, just jack it up another nickel. Nobody will ever fuss. Or jack it up 30 cents, let them fuss them all, and lower it 15 cents, and then they'll all be happy. My goodness, look at their gas is only $2.81. I mean, if they'd have went from 30 cents to 281, you talk about grumbling and complaining, you know, but they raise it a nickel at a time. Or then they'll raise it really up a nickel or a dime every day till they get up 275, and then they lower it to 250, and it's like, wow, now look, it's only 250. You see the way they're doing it? That's the way they are. But we bless those that sell to them in time of need. Okay, verse 27 and 28. If you search for good, you will find favor. If you search for it. But if you search for evil, it will find you. You know, you don't have to look very hard for evil. The devil will show up. You know that? He's out there looking for you already. He's wanting to get you. So if you even think about doing evil things, I can assure you the devil will be there to fulfill, you know, what he's been sent to do. So if you search for good, but you got to search for it, dig for it, look for it, try to stay in the good with God, you will find favor with God. But if you search for evil, it will find you. In other words, those demons will find you. Trust in your money and down you go. How many people today do you know put money before God? Oh, lots of them. You know, who needs God? I mean, you know, we got money, we got power, you know, we got everything. Who needs God? And that's the way a lot of our nation. Trust in your money and down you will go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring. Now see, this is something that has taken me a long time to understand. That God says the godly will flourish. It doesn't mean you will get rich overnight. A lot of people want that, though, don't they, John? I mean, they want to go to work and get a good job and have $1 million, and you can go home, you can work from 8 to 5, and you can go home, sit down, and watch TV, you know? I mean, what else could you possibly want? You know, you can go shopping, you can spend all that money you're making. How about just going to church on Sunday? Oh, who needs to go to church on Sunday? I got lots of money. I don't need God. But God might want you to go and tithe. Oh, tithe. No, I ain't going down there and give God nothing. Ooh. I wonder what happens to those kind of people? It's amazing. Trust in your money and down you will go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring. I think about the years that I invested. I mean, when I was a young man, I was like most young men. I spent all the money I made. I mean, even when I got a flying job. Now, you may have never been an airline pilot like I was, but airline pilots don't make normal pay. They get paid extremely well. I mean, they really make good money. I know I was one of them. But guess what? I spent every dime, every payday to payday. I mean, there ain't going to be no problem. I'm going to have this job forever. So, you know, all of a sudden I'm making all this good money, you know. I mean, thousands of dollars. And if you need something, or you want something, just buy it, you know. I mean, there's going to be another paycheck in a couple of weeks. No big deal. And then the economy crunch come along, and I went to Vietnam on a trip and came back, and when I got back, they usually give you 1 month notice. I was already like 15 days into my notice that I don't have no job in 15 more days. And 30 days, they put it in my mailbox the day I left, so I didn't know it was there until I got back. And I made a trip to Hawaii, Guam, then on to Vietnam, then up to Tokyo, and then around the Aleutian chain, and back to Anchorage, Alaska, and then back to San Francisco. When I got back, here's this notice in my box: you're out of a job. Well, guess what I'd done with all the money I'd made up to now? It's gone. I don't have. What am I going to do, Lord? What? I've no job, no money, no nothing. I'd never saved any. Who needs to save it? You know you're going to have a job tomorrow. No, I didn't have a job tomorrow. So I come home. My wife was in tears. What are we going to do? We don't have no money in the bank. We got a house payment coming up. What are we going to do? I said, well, one thing this has taught me: don't ever spend all you make. Save some of it. So, of course, I went back to mechanicking, which is what I used to do. I went to mechanicking, and I'm telling you, I made a whole lot less money working on cars than I did flying them jet airplanes. But let me tell you, I didn't spend it all. I worked 12 hours a day, sometimes 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, you know, to provide, to make my house payment, you know, to make my car payment, to buy my groceries. But when I did that, whatever was left, I put some of it, I, of course, still tithed off of that, but I put some of it in a savings account, and I put some of it in a banking account where it was going to be there. And I began to build that up slowly but surely. Well, it only was about maybe 6 or 8 months of that then when I got to go back to flying again for a couple more years. And, of course, I went to Europe, you know, when I went to Europe and flew over there for a while, and I got paid really good money over there. I didn't hardly spend nothing. I mean, I saved it all. You know, I mean, that goes to show you can do, you know, you can do wonderful things if you want to. And so I realized I had to save. And so all the rest of my life, I invested and saved. And then when I finally wanted to build this house over here, I started drawing a little of that money out of those investments.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.